This is Linux in Laws, a podcast on topics around free and open source software, any associated contraband, communism, the revolution in general, and whatever else fancies your tickle. Please note that this and other episodes may contain strong language, offensive humor, and other certainly not politically correct language. You have been warned. Our parents insisted on this disclaimer. Happy Mum! Thus, the content is not suitable for consumption in the workplace, especially when played back on a speaker in an open plan office or similar environments. Any minors under the age of 35 or any pets, including fluffy little killer bunnies, your trusted guide dog, unless on speed, and cute T-Rexes or other associated dinosaurs. Welcome to Linux in Laws, Season 2, Episode 7. Martin, how is the weather treating you?
The weather is actually pretty nice today, I'd say.
Why? It only rained for about 7 hours in the UK?
No, it was a day without rain for change, which hasn't happened for a while.
So Greta fixed the climate after all. Greta Thunberg, if you're listening, well done.
Yeah, I don't know about Greta. She's she certainly hasn't made it more reliable, that's for sure.
When did she last visit, by the way? The greater borough of the UK.
That's not that long ago, actually. And
did you meet her?
It didn't go well.
What happened?
I think some people weren't too impressed.
By her doing what?
Talking
about the Ukraine and stuff?
Talking about Ukraine?
No, she does many things. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Ah. Yes, I'm sure. No, I don't actually. No, that was somewhere else, wasn't it? Where was this?
I can't even remember actually. But that remark didn't go down too well either.
Yes.
But this is not a podcast about Greta Thunberg. Although, given the right amount of money, we might be tempted.
Greta, if you're listening, that wasn't dope. It might be interesting to get her on the show for sure.
Yes. Although, sorry.
Not sure where the open source angle is today.
Martin, don't worry about it. Given our current funding situation, every single dime counts.
This was it. She was charged by the police. That was it. Yes.
So what happened?
That was back a few months ago, and she did do a protest, but then she got arrested by the police.
In Germany or Norway? Or
no, this was in the UK. Yeah, this was in
the UK.
There was an oil and gas conference taking place, and
okay.
And she was protesting outside, but she didn't comply with the public order offense.
Why would the police arrest somebody for being in favor of more oil and gas consumption, I wonder? Or did I get that wrong?
No, I don't think it's in favor or against. It doesn't really matter. It's more about not following the law. Is it usually why the police arrest people, I believe.
This is probably not exactly Greta's strong side, let's put it this way.
No, indeed.
But this is not a podcast about Greta Thunberg. Although, as I said, if you're listening to the management of Greta Thunberg, we are cheap. So if you want to get in touch about an episode just focusing on Greta, shameless promotion in brackets, just get in touch. The email address will be mentioned later on. Okay, but this is not yet about Greta Thunberg. So.
No, give it a bit of time. Yep.
Okay, exactly. But this is an episode about OpenWRT, Martin. So, what's OpenWRT?
A friend of mine once told me about this, and it's really an open source operating system and all the stuff that you need for it to run on your routers.
There you have it.
So you're not locked into your proprietary stuff.
Shortest Linux in-law shows ever, clocking in about 5 minutes. Let's do the POX. Let's get
not
out.
Not bad. Yeah.
No, maybe it's a little bit. It's now time to dive into the history of the whole thing, just for a short amount of time. It all started early 2000s when actually a company called Linksys, then a subsidiary of a company called Cisco, was forced to open source their firmware because of GPL licensing. Turns out they used an operating system kernel called Linux, which which had been invented about 10 years earlier, give or take a few, but made the license switch to a GPL license about 3 or 4 years after the initial commit in modern terms. And that's precisely the point in time when, after the whole code base had been open sourced, when a couple of people got in on the whole thing and decided to not just use the firmware, but also basically turn this into a full operating system. Mm-hmm. And hence OpenWRT, which stands for Open Wi-Fi Router, that was the initial name, I think, was born. And fast forward about 20 years, we are looking at a full-blown Linux distribution, mostly targeted at embedded systems, the likes of MIPS, ARM, and other embedded technologies.
Do you not run this yourself?
I do.
And what will be your reasoning to do this?
Well, you see, this is actually something kind of interesting because under the hood, many routers targeted at, and I'm not talking about the likes of Juniper and Cisco, like the big ones, because Cisco does something called iOS and Juniper may or may not be in the show notes, does something similar, but I'm talking about kind of small office home routers. Under the hood, most of them would use some sort of rebrand, OpenWRT or something similar, as in Linux-based, running probably on your either ARM or MIPS hardware, because essentially this first Linksys thing was based on the MIPS 32 architecture. So all of the device servers actually were in that operating system kernel already then, more than 20 years back. And the idea, of course, is if you run this anyway, why not free, as in liberate your router by doing away with the proprietary vendor firmware and actually using a fully open source distribution called OpenWRT that gives you all of the freedoms of Linux, essentially, including a packagement system, a very well-written web-based UI and all the rest of it.
It could be a reason, but then I don't know how many people actually are bothered about their home routers. I mean, what they run.
The thing is, basically, if you buy your router or if you rent your router from Vodafone, from German Telecom, if you're in Germany, from what's it called? British Telecom, right, in the UK.
They still exist. Yeah.
Exactly. They sell you two types of routers, or they rent out to you two types of routers. One is a lockdown system, probably done by a couple of Chinese vendors, the likes of Arcadin come to mind.
There's a lot of French stuff in the router world over here. I forgot the name of them now. They'll come back to me at some point. Yeah, carry on.
Martin, exactly. And then you have the second variety that is based on OpenWRT. Because essentially, if you take a very close look under the hood, and if you're not talking about the cheapos like Arcadin and the rest of them, chances are that it's very, 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 very likely that this is actually using either a full-blown double OpenWRT or stripped-down version of it. For the simple reason that the stuff A exists and B is reusable right off the box, because all what the vendors have to do is actually they have to rebrand the whole thing. They can do so because as long as they adhere to the GPL licenses, and this is basically what you can see if you go into your home router and just check out the license tab, that is actually hidden very deep somewhere in the web UI. There you see actually what this router is based upon, and chances are that actually at the very end of the list, actually it says Lua, it says Lucy, it says OpenWRT, or at least it says Linux.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't happen to be Martin, who is running some sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Castrated version of Debian on his router?
It's actually also based on OpenWRT, my stuff, I believe.
Is it? Okay. Okay. So you would be able actually to replace that stripped down
root
with a full-blown OpenWRT thing. Mm. And I mean, the beauty is it comes along with many of the traits of a modern Linux system that you have grown to expect, for example, a package manager. So what I normally do is basically, if I'm not inclined to cross-compiling, for example, in Emacs, I simply log into my router, download a C compiler, and then I'm able to compile Emacs on my router itself.
Yeah. Excellent.
No, jokes aside, you don't have to do this because, without sounding too much of an ad for OpenWRT, no jokes aside, the whole thing is A, is open source, and B, it comes with a pretty good web-based UI. So essentially, this web-based UI is called Lucy. Links will be in the show notes. It's all it requires is actually a Lua interpreter.
Lua.
And as soon as you install this package, all you have to do is you have to point your browser at your IP address, port 80, and then you can log into that web UI, and you don't have to use the command line, as in using SSH to connect to your router, because you essentially can do it via the web front end.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to bother yourself with the command line if you're not inclined that way. But I mean, the beauty, of course, shines if you use your bash in the router, on the router, on the command line, because it's essentially just another Linux system with all the bells and whistles that you have, what's the word I'm looking for, learn or expected to love?
Learn to love, yeah.
Yes, known about, exactly.
Okay. Right. So, where was I? Yes. Okay, sounds very useful to have a open source router operating system. The specific device drivers that you would need? Because there are obviously many types of hardware. Is that something that OpenWRT supports?
Yeah,
widely.
No, this is the catch, Martin. OpenWRT only supports 27,578 devices.
Okay.
So you're a little bit confined there. Jokes aside, if you go to the project homepage, links, of course, are in the show notes, you will actually see a table that is quite comprehensive. And full kudos to the project, because the project actually allows you to filter for vendor, particular device type, and all the rest of it. So if you already possess a device, you can simply take a look at the table. Or if you're just about to spend some moolah as a money on a device, you can actually make an educated choice about your vendor and the particular router type that you want to buy based on this table.
Well, you only have 27,000 to choose from.
Exactly.
Should take no time at all.
The good news is basically that the majority of Zoho holders would be supported if they are open in some fashion. And open being that you are able to go into the router interface and reflash the router, especially if they are ARM or MIPS based. Because if you are on an Atheros architecture, which is essentially an SoC that has a MIPS core, it's getting a little bit technical now, plus some Wi-Fi and Ethernet functionality on the die, you're pretty much wired for sound. Because it would surprise me if there's any popular router out there with that architecture that is not supported by OpenWRT. Because this is essentially where the project comes from. The initial Linksys was actually a MIPS 32 MIPS architecture.
Okay.
But now, I mean, I'm running older OpenWRT on a 32-bit ARM system, among other things.
Well, specifically a router, or did you build your own device?
Not yet, no. But I have a Vor core that, again, is MIPS architecture. That's about 2.5 by 2.5 centimeters. It's a set you can actually put it in your pocket. And I'm running this on a 4-core Netgear, and that is a true MIPS architecture. And I'm also running this. And I'm also running this on a GI. I think the vendor is called GI Net or something like that. And again, that's a 2-core ARM architecture. And installing this was straightforward.
You have to flash the firmware, surely. Yeah.
Exactly. So essentially, what you do is you follow the, and it's all described actually on the OpenWRT project website. You essentially log into some sort of interface, and normally that would be web based, offered by the original vendor. You simply say upgrade the firmware, and then you, instead of upgrading the firmware, you actually reflash the device with OpenWRT. Instructions for each and every device supported are actually on the project website. The chances for error are pretty low, I suppose. And I mean, I had this running on single core. I can't even remember. I think.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of routers are there single core, right? Okay. So, there is actually a 8-core router as well. Oh, there we go. Anyway. 2.4 gigahertz.
That actually allows you to probably play games on it if you're so inclined. Or do some crypto mining or whatever.
yeah, seems a bit unnecessary unless you have a lot of network to do with your router. Anyway, so. Firmware supported, many hardware supported, okay. Easy to install. What about the kind of maintenance of this, the whole scenario? What is the project like and the community?
That's a very good question, actually. And this is public knowledge, so I'm not revealing a secret. There was a split, almost something to say, or like a magical breakup in 2017, when some people decided, and when I say people, of course I mean core devs, that they wanted to take this whole project somewhere else in terms of not just a targeting router, but also just general IoT / embedded devices. Hence, Leda was born, and links, of course, will be in the show notes. But this is, thank God, history, because after a year, and they only put out one release, they came to their senses and merged the two projects once again back into OpenWRT.
Okay.
So Leda was short-lived, and to answer that question, the community is thriving, because they put out a release pretty much every single year. But the good news is basically I'm still running a couple of releases back, and they're still kind of very well supported in terms of updates to the packages and all the rest of it. So, and the package list is quite comprehensive. They have a pretty automated build system. Details are on the project homepage. And the package list is also quite comprehensive in terms of you have editors, you have, of course, the usual system utilities, you have network tools and all the rest of it. So what you would typically expect from a typical router-based operating system. But needless to say, you also have a C compiler. And you can either cross-compile any missing packages on a host system, or what I normally do, because I consider cross-compiling just to be another indirect layer or some sort of evil that you probably don't have to use. I normally simply install a C compiler on the target device and compile any packages by myself. Because A, chances are that the libraries that you need to compile that package are already on the device or available as part of the package management system. And B, if they are not, most of the time, because you're looking at an embedded system, they are not hard to find. They are C-based and off the races. It just boils down to available storage that you attach to your router, and then you simply compile it on the device itself. But links may or may not be in the show notes. There are existing Docker containers that allow cross-compiling.
Okay. Yeah, there are some other open source router projects, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
How do they compare? I mean, specifically, we're talking about OpenWRT, right? Why wouldn't we be talking about DDWRT, for example?
Because that's just another OpenWRT spin.
Okay.
That came into existence in, I think, 2005, maybe 2006, when the original project was just a year old. Details were, of course, within the show notes, but essentially it's just a commercialized version of the original project.
Uh-huh. Commercialized. Right, so you can get support with it or something.
I think
paid for type stuff.
Without being an expert on the whole thing, yes, I think if you take a look at their website, they are somewhat targeting the industrial sector as an enterprise sector. So if you're so inclined, and if you don't want to use the proprietary firmware that came with your set of router, you can avail of paid for support.
Right.
But the good news is that they do also offer images for many of the SOHO routers that also are targeted by OpenWRT.
Well, I think, OpenWRT is probably the biggest, really, isn't it? So you're going to get support from many forums anyway on any questions that you would need.
And, I mean, the website is just excellent because the website covers anything from how to boot from mass storage, then rather your built-in flash memory, right up to how to install software, how to set up a mesh network, how to set up a VPN channel, and all the rest of it. I mean, it's pretty well documented, especially the bootstrapping process, whether it's web-based, whether it's command line-based, and whatever. It's pretty detailed.
Okay. You mentioned mesh network. Should we discuss FriFunk?
We should. So what's FriFunk?
FriFunk, I'm told it's something that people can use to download their cat videos through their neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Exactly. it's the German approach to communism when it comes down to Wi-Fi, I suppose.
Yes, being German, when you tell us what it's all about.
So the project is quite old. I think it dates back about at least 10, 15, 20 years. Details, of course, will be in the show notes. The idea was actually to provide a mesh Wi-Fi network covering most of Germany. At the time, okay, let me paint the big picture. At the time, you had commercial providers that were charging an arm and a leg for Wi-Fi access. You had, of course, your...
When you say Wi-Fi access, you mean when you're out and about? Or
exactly. When you're out and about, but also, of course, you had your home Wi-Fi, but that would require you to be at home, of course.
Yes, which you
sometimes
have to,
not an option,
you
exactly.
have to pay for anyway, unless you can use your neighbors. Yes. That sounds like an excellent plan to save on Wi-Fi costs.
So, Martin, how's your neighbor doing anyway?
Yes.
No, jokes aside, the idea was actually to offer an alternative to the commercial access points offered throughout the country. So a couple of, and this goes back to some Chaos Computer Club initiatives, as I said, details on the history, also on the history of the project, in the show notes. So the idea was basically that you would dedicate a certain portion of your bandwidth that you had available, because you're paying for it, to the project. So the project basically has, on their website, has a list of routers that they support. So all you have to do is, if you want to go down that route, buy a router, if you're not using a supported router anyway, and simply flash a Freifunk image on your router. This image would then, of course, the whole thing is OpenWRT based because they are doing their own spin.
Right. Okay.
That image would then open up a Wi-Fi network which is similar to a guest net Wi-Fi network that you find in hotels and all the rest of it, with the only difference that you are actually not paying for it. And
well, okay, so you're not paying for it, but you mentioned it's similar to hotel Wi-Fi. So do we need to register to use this facility? Right.
No. A hotel Wi-Fi network, sometimes you do have to register, sometimes you don't. Mm. You're paying for it anyway because either you're staying at the hotel or you are rendering your email address for some sort of nonsense registration process. Goes without saying. Anyway, Freifunk doesn't require you to do that because all you have to do is you have to connect and that's it.
Hmm.
And okay. There was a certain kerfuffle about 10, 20 years ago with people just downloading copyrighted material, and that was done away with about...
On their neighbor's Wi-Fi, you mean?
Exactly. So if a neighbor would open up their Wi-Fi with regards to Freifunk, they could be held liable against copyright violation things. That legislation, of course, was done away with in Germany about 7 years ago. But prior to that, what actually Freifunk did, actually they overlaid the whole thing with a virtual private network. So you connected to an access point that was Freifunk-based, and they made sure that through their mesh architecture, that traffic was routed through some exit nodes that were not in Germany. So any lawyers being on the trail had a hard time catching you because you wouldn't basically have a German IP address, even if you downloaded copyrighted material. But as I said, that was done away with in 2017, if I'm not completely mistaken. So now, essentially, it's you're not entering any sort of risk by simply putting a portion or fraction of your bandwidth out on Freifunk.
Okay.
And of course, that is communism at its heart in Germany when it comes down to wireless access. Because that actually beats the whole, okay, we're charging you 10 euros for a minute on Wi-Fi if you're so inclined. All major credit cards accepted.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that,
you have some. You must have something similar in the UK, no?
Similar. Similar to what? Similar to Freifunk.
Yes.
Well, some. Interesting enough, some providers actually have this as part of their offerings that you can use other people's routers as well. But obviously, that's part of the kind of paid service. And to be fair, the paid for Wi-Fi's while out and about are fewer and far between now than they used to be, right? It's
okay.
Most of them are kind of free anyway, you know, like your airports, your train stations, your trains, and all that kind of stuff. So there isn't so much of a need anymore to.
Do you have free Wi-Fi at train stations?
Yeah, and on trains as well these days. Yeah.
Okay, that basically means people have something to do if they're sitting around for 24 hours waiting for their cancelled train. Excellent.
Yeah. Especially if they hadn't downloaded their cat videos beforehand.
Makes sense to me. Yes.
Yeah.
So British Rail, well done.
Well, should we discuss the security aspects of OpenWRT?
Yes, secure. Next topic.
Okay. How is it secure?
No, essentially, it depends on what you would call secure.
Well, let's talk about the kernel, right? Is this a
The kernel is a modern kernel. I mean, I'm running 2022, I think, on my router, and that's a version 5 kernel, if I'm not completely mistaken.
2022, blimey, you're quite behind then, aren't you?
2023, I mean. Anyway, it's within the last 2 years, but that already blessed a kernel version 5.
Yeah, okay. Now, does it not have some extra hardening in OpenWRT, I believe?
I don't know if they patched their kernel. I do not know.
Okay.
Maybe it's in on the project side, on the project website. But I mean, you can get all the bells and whistles like opened up like OpenVPN, like WireGuard, and that sort of thing. If you're so inclined,
Yeah, I
or
guess
you
you have the
bring your own
packages to have
VPN.
it. Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it seems like it's being well maintained, so yeah, any vulnerability should be picked up pretty quickly.
And exactly, and Tor is a standard package in any architecture-based distribution. So if you want to run your own Tor relay, you don't have to build it yourself because you can simply download it from the OpenWRT website because essentially it's a maintained package. And
Okay.
that's actually what many people do, especially in the Freifunk area. They run their own Tor relays on their router, I might add.
It seems to be somewhat communist in Germany, doesn't it? But there
You see,
we go.
Martin, every relay helps, no? When
That's you tell me.
it comes down to Tor.
Depends, it depends, yeah.
No, it isn't basically because the more the relays you have, the better the bandwidth is.
Well, it also makes it slower, but yeah. Anyway, we had an episode on Tor already, so we can skip
We do,
that
yes.
bit. Okay, so in short,
Use it. Use
OpenWRT,
it,
use
yes.
it, open source, secure, big community, much hardware support. What else? Easy
Mark,
packages. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
and just sent mails to feedback and Linus Inlos out of you so that Martin is finally convinced to use OpenWRT himself.
Well, I'm already using it. It's part of
Excellent.
my original software is actually based on it anyway.
Very, very good, very good.
It's fine.
So it's just that small step to use a real OpenWRT version and not some sort of vendor branded nonsense.
Yes.
No jokes aside, I mean, this is the thing basically, if you stick to your vendor based double OpenWRT because you don't know what the vendor put in there. So if you want
True,
to really
true.
have a liberated router, please use a standard OpenWRT image, not some vendor branded crap.
Well, it's not crap, but yeah,
No,
it's.
Martin, you see, you do not know what they put into this, into the whole thing, unless you don't know. You do not know what they put into the whole thing because unless you reverse engineer it, which
Yes, I know. Yeah.
comes at a price, you do not know what's happening inside. But with OpenWRT as a generic image, this is safe and sound.
Yeah, that's the beauty about open source, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, so what is your POX for this week?
My POX is actually a movie called, I'm almost a little bit shy to say this, but because it's none, it's for adults only. But I think it's pretty good, although the body count is pretty high. It's called Extraction 2. Watched it the
Okay.
other day. It's not for the faint-hearted, I might add, but it's a pretty good sequel to something called Extraction, which was, I think, a 2021, 22 movie. Details,
Sure, I'm
details, of course, are in
familiar
the
with
show notes.
those.
Yes, as I said, it's not for the faint-hearted. But if you want to enjoy about 2 hours of hard and fast-paced action, this is a flick you don't want to miss. But as I
Okay.
said, I mean, if you don't want to see gore and people being killed, that's probably not a movie for you.
Okay. Yeah.
What about your
I
pox?
don't think I've seen this. My POX is a series called The Artful Dodger, which
That
is
sounds
based.
like Goldilocks, no?
No, it's based on a Charles Dickens character, but
Close.
it's far, far, far more amusing than that. This is quite cleverly done. And yeah, it covers a Well, it covers a thief come surgeon and some dealings and schemes and plans and all sorts of stuff. It's in some colony. So, yeah, it's quite amusing. Very amusing.
And the colony is called, what was afterwards, the USFA?
No. This is where they sent all the, you know what Australia is?
Yes.
Right?
I thought you were talking about either the USFA or actually Scotland. Okay, so it's Australia after all.
I don't think Scotland is a colony. Scotland is part of the UK still, so far, anyway.
I see.
But yeah, no, Australia was colony back in those days where they just sent all the, when the prisons were full, they sent them on a ship and put them in Australia. So
that's
any Australians, if you're listening, you know where you come from.
so that's what, 20, 25 years ago, right?
I don't know. We probably will have lost our last Australian listener by now.
Sorry, Australians, that was a joke. Of course, it was more than 50 years ago. Anyway.
Indeed. So, yeah, well worth.
Thanks, of course, with the show notes. Not about Australia being colony about 50 years ago. No, we won't do this. No. In the interest of history, no, we won't. Anyway. Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Do we have any feedback? We don't have any feedback, do we?
We have feedback from Shay. Yeah, we have feedback from Shay.
We do.
Let me find it for you.
I thought we did that already, no?
No, that was a recent one.
Yesterday?
A few days ago, on episode 2. Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago. Did we do this?
Yes, indeed, Shay, sorry. Apologies. You want to read this?
Sure, I have it here. So, Shay says, on series 2, episode 2, In-laws, thanks for the episode. I learned a lot about something I thought I knew something about. Lols.
And that was, of course, the much-cherished episode about Epil and Red Hat and Fedora and CentOS and much more. Mm. If you haven't listened to this and if you want to know the very details, by all means, max stuff out. It's part of the RSS feed. So if you ever wondered what this whole Fedora fuss is all about and how Epil plays into the whole thing, that's your episode to listen to. Julia, Carl, again, thank you if you're listening to this for a wonderful episode.
We covered the feedback on episode 1, right?
Yes.
Cool. All right, then. That is it as far as feedback goes.
And with that, see you next time. This is the Linux In-Laws.
You come for the knowledge.
But stay for the madness.
Thank you for listening.
This podcast is licensed under the latest version of the Creative Commons license, type attribution share alike. Credits for the intro music go to Blue Sea Roosters for their song Salute Margaret, to Twin Flames for their piece called The Flow, used for the segment intros, and finally to Celestial Ground for their song Sweet Justice, used by the Dark Side. You find these and other ditties licensed under CC at Jamendo, a website dedicated to liberate the music industry from choking copyright legislation and other crap concepts.